Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joining us right now, one of our favorite guests from Yahoo Sports. That's Dan Wetzel.
My man.
Dan, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Doing great. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. It's
been way too long,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it really has, Dan. I mean, I don't know if that's on us or on you, but it has been too long, so we're happy
probably
to...
Probably my fault.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it, but yeah. So much talk about Mayweather and McGregor. What's your take on how this press tour has gone?
Well, I think you start of your sentence was exactly what they were shooting for. So much talk.
Yeah.
Almost everybody I run into heard something about the fight coming up, and something about the tour. It wasn't always positive, but there was always something. So they did what they were trying to do, which is hype a fight, get people talking about a boxing match and whether they're going to buy it, and you get, you know, you need, when you're trying to sell something for $100, a fight like this, you need people to, you know, sit there and plan ahead and say, hey, that night, come over to my house. Let's get three or four people because no one wants to pay $100 by themselves. You feel a little less like you didn't get ripped off if you're just throwing in $20 or $10. So that's what they're trying to do. They got a lot of excitement in the cities. You obviously see, McGregor. Mayweather is a tremendous promoter. I mean, Mayweather turned himself welterweightish, various weight class, but kind of a junior welterweight kind of guy, defensive fighter who's not very really exciting to watch offensively, and he turned himself into the biggest pay-per-view star in the world. And McGregor is by far his superior when it comes to promoting. I mean, Conor McGregor strutting around on a stage is a sight to behold. So these guys got a lot of people talking from L.A. all the way into Europe.
Dan, I just made the point. It seems as though the supply is trying to create the demand instead of vice versa. We all learned in Economics 101, you know, if the demand is there, then you increase the supply. Do you get the sense that's why these press conferences, as they've moved from city to city, have been so over the top?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of that. I think they know that there's a curiosity factor. They have a lot of really good market forces going for them. You have two different sports. You have the concept of this sort of underdog shot. You haven't had a huge pay-per-view either in MMA or boxing really all year, where you've had, you know, where you're kind of like, hey, there's people who will buy a fight once a year, once every other year. You know, there hasn't been a huge MMA fight all year. So there were some last year. So they got that going for them. They have some different things. But clearly they need to talk it up and make it so outlandish that you're going to go, you know what, I think Mayweather's going to win this fight easy. Why would I watch this thing? Why am I going to get suckered into a kind of a farcical fight where you got, you know, a 49-0 boxer against a 0-0 boxer. I mean, they were introducing Conor McGregor as the, you know, undisputed UFC lightweight champion or welterweight champion, and running his MMA record. Like, that's great, but the fight's not MMA. He's 0-0. That's his thing. So they had to create a lot of excitement and buzz and anger and whatever they had to do, and I think they accomplished that. Again, these guys, you know, it was kind of fun. I mean, if you're a combat sport fan like I am, I cover boxing and I cover MMA, and the idea that a world tour could still exist for a boxing match of this magnitude was pretty wild. I was at the Toronto press conference, and I mean, it was just incredible energy. I mean, it's a Tuesday, or was it Wednesday afternoon, and there's, you know, 10, 12,000 people in this, like, concert amphitheater in Toronto screaming and going crazy and having a good time. It was quite a thing to see. But, yeah, they need to create – I think there's interest, but they got to create reason for people to say, oh, heck, I'm buying that.
Mm-hmm. Gio and Jones with Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Sports across the country on CBS Sports Radio. Being a combat sports guy, is any part of you longing for the days when – boxing didn't need this to get as much attention on boxing? You've got a tremendous fight that'll get a lot of buys with Canelo and Triple G in September, but it's not even going to come close to the type of attention this spectacle is going to get. Do you believe that boxing will ever be able to get to a place where it stands on its own as one of the country's more popular sports?
No, it probably won't ever again. You know, I mean, it's probably just not going to happen. But this has been a pretty good year for boxing. We're at a pretty good run. I mean, we had a Klitschko-Johnson fight in London. There was 90,000 people at Wembley Stadium. It was a really, really good heavyweight fight. You had the, you know, Pacquiao appearing on basic cable, which you just don't see a star of that magnitude. And he fights down Australia, 55,000 people, and it's a controversial ending. And you guys know controversy is not a bad thing.
Yeah, same thing with Ward and Kovalev too. I mean, same thing, controversy there too.
They love selling controversy. And now you have this kind of crazy fight, and then you're going to finish, you know, a pretty good run with Alvarez and Triple G. So if you really love boxing, watch that. So is it ever going to be that big again? No, it's not. I mean, it just isn't. I wasn't a fan at that time when you had all those guys. But there's always still a decent number of boxing fans out there, and it's popular globally, and you can get some exciting things, and you just kind of got to wait your turn and hope for it. I never think boxing's as in bad a shape as maybe some other people do. I think a lot of, you know, there's certainly people that just tuned out on boxing, and I don't know why, but there's still big segments of the country that are at least interested or paying some attention, and you just kind of got to get the right guys all in the right division at different times.
Well, a sport that has no problem garnering eyeballs is college football, and you and I, a number of years ago, were clamoring for a playoff system. We have a playoff system. While I would like for it to increase, there's one head coach who's in that number that I know of who's speaking out loud, and that's Troy Calhoun at the Air Force Academy. And he wants to have the group of five teams play in a little round robin to see who gets to join the big boys in this playoff. He'd like to see it increase to eight and ultimately more than that. What do you see as far as the current system, and where would you like for it to go?
Yeah, I kind of found that interesting, and people got angry that he would try that. But, you know, one thing I've kind of been intrigued about lately is how, you know, particularly the European soccer clubs, they compete in all sorts of different, like, they compete for all different trophies. There's multiple things you can win each year, and I kind of think that's kind of cool. And it's okay to just be like, well, we won this or we won that, kind of like that in the conference races. But I wouldn't mind if there was a little group of – I don't know if the winner not automatically gets in, but it'd certainly be interesting, and it might be something they could do. Look, I think they should probably have an 18 playoff, but I think what you have to do is not just add a round of the playoff. I think you need to kind of change the postseason and specifically – eliminate the conference title games. If you looked at last year's conference title games, the majority of them had no bearing on anything. Like, Alabama was getting in the playoff no matter what happened, whether they won the SEC championship or not. The Big Ten championship was between Wisconsin. I'm pretty sure it was Wisconsin. Wisconsin and Penn State and
right.
somebody.
Right.
And they weren't getting in at all. But Ohio State, which wasn't even playing in it, was.
Yep.
Those games have exceeded their usefulness. And I know we have these massive conferences, which is somewhat unfortunate, but I think you would be better off if you eliminate these divisions and just create a deal where you play and you get your champion and that team gets in. And so then when you have an 18 playoff, you really didn't add any games to the players, because I'm sympathetic to the idea you just keep adding games for guys to play, and you get rid of the worst part of the postseason, which is the conference championship game that does not do real well, and you replace it with a first round of a playoff. And in that way, you do get one of those group of five teams in, and you give them an opportunity to pull the upset, which is one of the great things in college sports, is whether it's the NCAA basketball tournament or it's, you know, baseball, where you see smaller schools getting a chance to compete, or, you know, a Gonzaga, or things that don't necessarily look like they're going to make it on paper, everybody gets a crack. So that's really how I would reform the postseason. Now, you'd have eight team playoff, but you wouldn't have any more games.
Well, that's fine, and I'm with you there, but how do you recoup those dollars, or can you prove to these presidents and athletic directors that you're not going to lose money, you're going to increase the amount that you bring in?
Well, obviously, as you know, and as you know, this thing only changes because of money.
Right.
And the four-team playoff made more than eight. I think as you look forward, a first round of a playoff would command more money on TV than the conference championship deals right now. But you also have a bunch of deals already written. It's complicated. I'm not saying this is easy or it can be done next year, but there is more money in it. And I also think everything's going to change pretty soon, because the sports broadcast bubble is going to burst. You're just the way with cord cutting and different things going on in the way we watch television, there just isn't that bottomless pit of money that has been there for college sports the last 50 years. It just grows and grows and grows. And that really includes these guys, the conference, the cable channels themselves, the Big Ten Network, the SEC Network. You know, they talk about ESPN losing subscribers due to cord cutting. I'm a huge college sports fan, and I still barely watch those networks. You know, and I if anyone would pay for those networks, it's me, and I can go months without watching them. I mean, the ratings are never really high on that. You want to see a networks that will get cut. As this accelerates and goes forward, it's going to be those networks, because 95%+ of the market will never tune into a conference. They might even know it even exists on their cable package. So college sports is going to be grinding for any dollar they can soon, because I don't think they can just always count on the revenue just soaring forever.
Gio and Jones with Dan Wetzel on CBS Sports Radio. This morning we got our first look at Al Pacino as Joe Paterno in an HBO original movie. And usually stuff like this doesn't bother me, but this one does. I don't believe they should be making this movie. I don't know when the right time is, but it doesn't feel like now is the right time. What are your feelings about HBO making a movie about what happened at Penn State?
You know, I would have rather seen a high-level documentary mm-hmm. on this, but obviously, for many good reasons, I don't run HBO. I don't really know whether this will be successful or not. Seems like one. It does seem a little early to watch a drama of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a tough subject, and it better be really, really well done, and not just whether or not Al Pacino looks like Joe Paterno, but on the factual basis of what happened and how it happened and all of that, because it just remains such an important topic and such a cautionary tale for people, whether you're in athletics or not, or on this subject or almost anything where you know, standing up and reporting and investigating things is important. So I'm a little apprehensive about it. Look, they've done films about horrible subjects. So it's not like there's any subject that, you know, is too terrible that film can't be a very powerful medium to it, but it does seem a little odd. It's hard to like pop up some popcorn and say, hey, let's watch the Penn State drama tonight. You know, so we'll have to see. It needs to be really, really well done. I think until I see that, I'll withhold the opinion on it, I guess.
Dan, the popcorn is popping for NBA Summer League. I just don't recall this type of fervor around Summer League basketball. I even have been catching some of the action. Can we attribute all of it to Lonzo Ball?
Well, it's been growing, but Lonzo's a big part of it. And I'll tell you what, it's really interesting because if you're a rookie, and this is kind of what I was talking about earlier, the European soccer, like it's something else to compete for, right? Championships tonight. But if you're a rookie and you want to market your shoes, you want to market yourself, I mean, this is an unbelievable opportunity. People are watching. I think it says something that baseball is – I think baseball is less popular on a national level, and what I mean by that is I think people are still watching baseball, but they watch their team, and they're not really that interested in watching just, you know, oh, Red Sox and Yankees are on. Oh, my goodness, I really want to watch that. Like, you know, you don't have to live – it used to really mean something to watch a national game, and now I just think you can watch all the time. I don't think the ratings for those are particularly great or strong, and people love watching basketball. You can tune in for 5 minutes and watch a basketball game and see something interesting. And so when you have these guys, the play is real wide open. Defense is not particularly legendary. And you got a guy like Lonzo Ball, it's pretty fun to watch. I mean, he's really making exciting plays. So it's obviously working. And I think it's actually kind of cool that there's another – as someone who doesn't really want to watch a lot of baseball and don't want to watch much at all, I like it. It's there, and it's certainly gone much. It's gone from sort of during the day. I mean, they used to play it during the day on the NBA TV, and you really had the junkies watching. And now, boom, prime time on ESPN. And tonight's title game, I think, is going to be pretty good.
Is there anything about the new NBA that we have seen all the super teams and all the offense and up and down and the things that no one ever expected this league to turn into at this point. Is there anything about the new and the max deals, these super max deals and these super teams? Is there anything about this era of the NBA that you think will hurt it long term?
Well, I don't think it helps that you can't, you go into a season and there's so many teams that just are hopeless on winning. And it doesn't mean you're a bad team. You know, if you're, I don't know. I mean, if let's say you're a Wizards fan and you got a pretty good team, you got any chance of winning the title?
No.
you're just kind of sitting there going, well, all right, maybe we could do this. Or, I think that is a Portland. It's just teams like that where maybe in the past you thought, well, if we get this going, we get this going. The super teams are so super that I think it can beat down a little bit of expectation. And then if you're not that, if you're Milwaukee or you're Detroit or somebody, you're just going, we got no chance. That's why you saw, like, Indiana and Chicago really weren't that bad of teams, and they blow themselves up. And so I think that could have a long-term effect where it's just sort of like, okay, it's great to watch Golden State, but it's also great when localized, which is really where you're going to get your base fan growing up, you can sit there and watch and say, oh, we have a chance. Now there's just so much of the league really has no chance.
The Knicks used to have a chance, man. Back when we were younger, they had a good chance. Well, maybe not so much because Jordan was in the league. But Phil Jackson in particular, what has he done to damage his legacy with what occurred here in New York when he was heading up the basketball operations for the Knicks?
I think people will forget about it in the long term. I mean, he still got all those rings. But obviously, that was a complete disaster. Other than drafting Porzingis, I'm not really sure what he did well. I haven't been on the Carmelo bandwagon in a long time, but it obviously just didn't work. Not a lot's worked with the Knicks lately. You think about between him and Isaiah, that's a lot of winning. The whole idea that you hire guys, they know how to win, never really makes a lot of sense to me. That seems like that's what you say when you don't have anything else, any other qualities to kind of throw at them. Well, they know how to win. They'll get it done. I don't think Phil was as engaged as he needed to be in that job. It's a tough job. The league changed a little bit, and you got to be all in on these jobs to do it. And so, but I don't think his legacy is fine. It'll be a blip. People will probably forget about it when you're X number of years down. Oh yeah, remember he tried with the Knicks, didn't work out. But you'll think all the championships he did win.
Since it was such a long time between appearances on Gio and Jones for Dan Wetzel, who was kind enough to agree to join us every day this week.
Oh,
so,
really?
Thanks, Dan. Ooh. We appreciate that, man. Yeah. Talk to you tomorrow, right?
See you guys.
That was Dan Wetzel.
Happy to come on. I love it.
Thanks, my man.
Dan Wetzel. See you. Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Sports.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.